We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the unceded lands this podcast is recorded from, the Yugambeh and Cammeraygal peoples.
We pay our respects to the elders of past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew.
Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Nell Gao, and we will be your hosts for today's episode of the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast. We're welcoming back Amanda Watts for our last episode of Series 4.
Series 4!
Series 4, done and dusted.
Is that it? Do we stop there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We keep talking to people and they're like, oh, we love your podcast, it's so much fun to listen to. So I don't know, do you want to do another series?
Maybe we're doing another series.
We're doing another series, and we sort of have to because we already have like
an epic lineup.
Insanely excited. We've been shooting out emails to be like, hey, please, would you like to come and talk to us? And we've been getting a lot of yeses, so we're so excited and can't wait to share the conversations that come for Series 5. Also, if you guys have been enjoying the podcast, you can go and give us a little shout out on your favorite podcasting app, Spotify, Apple, Google. I don't know. There's like 1,000 of them. Just give us 5 stars and say how awesome we are. Or, you know, if you want to send us some feedback, maybe just direct message us and we'll see what we can do to improve the listening experience for you all.
Yeah, and if there's topics that you want covered, like tell us, because we want to have the conversations that you guys want to hear. So, yeah, it'd be good to hear from you.
Yeah, we were actually just having this conversation, Eva and I, because we've got some incredible guests coming up, as we just said, who just have such amazing experience, such varied experiences, like in life and in climbing. And they've all kind of said like, oh, we'll chat about whatever you want to chat about. And so if you want some topics, send them through now, because we're writing up interview questions for these amazing women. And we want to know what you'd like to ask, what you'd like to know. And we're not even telling you who they are, but just send us some questions.
They're amazing, all of them.
I'm sure we can drop a few of those information bombs shortly, and maybe then we'll get some more questions coming through from people who actually want to know specific things from specific people. Should we do that? Does that sound like a good plan, Eva?
Yes, it sounds like a fabulous plan. What now?
Like soon. We can't give away too much goodness all at once.
No, we can't. As impatient as I am,
can't. You are so impatient.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's my like middle
we've
name.
I've got some good stories about Eva being impatient while I'm trying to keep really exciting information from her, and she just finds out because she's like very good little Sherlock Holmes over here. Or Enola Holmes. I should say Enola Holmes. Anyway, should we have a little chat about our amazing sponsors?
We should.
We've got Urban Climb and Climbing Anchors on board for this series, for Series 4, and for this episode. If you don't know, Urban Climb have gyms in Queensland and in Victoria, in Brisbane at Newstead, Milton and West End, and up in Townsville, and down at Blackburn and Collingwood. We love these guys. They create such an incredible community. And if you listened in to our last episode, also with Amanda, we went through a whole list of amazing events they've got coming up in March. Go and check out their website, urbanclimb.com.au. Go to the news and events page and you can sign up to all these incredible events. I won't go through them now because there's so many. Get on there, see what they've got coming up. over all of their gyms. It's not just at one of the gyms that they have these courses and events. So go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And our other fantastic sponsor who we are very lucky to work with are the wonderful team at Climbing Anchors. You guys know them by now. If you don't, you should get to know them. They have stores in New South Wales and Victoria, in New South Wales at Alexandria, and then mini stores at 9 Degrees in Lane Cove and Waterloo, and a store in Fitzroy in Victoria. They also, because they're such legends, have a specific discount code for the MGC community. It gets you 12.5% off everything in store and online, except for sale items. The code is 20MGC24. So that's new this year. We'll put it in the show notes. Check them out. They've got everything you need.
Yes, we absolutely love Climbing Anchors. They are the literal best, and I feel like we're like best friends, like in the climbing community. I don't know if they feel the same, but we just love them so much. And like all the staff that work there, we're not just talking about like as a brand, like we love the brand, like the staff are just so wonderful. Yep,
they are. It's a special team.
It's a very special team. But onto our conversation with Amanda, because we'll give you a heads up, Eva does have to leave about 2/3 of the way through this conversation, and it's very cute. It's like great timing when she has to say goodbye. You'll know why we're laughing.
The plan before we recorded it, because I said to Nell, I'm so sorry, I have to go to work and it's going to clash. So the plan was that I would just remove myself from the conversation, but I don't know what came over me. I didn't. I sort of announced it awkwardly and then anyway, you'll hear it.
I don't think it was awkwardly. I think it was like almost perfectly placed and very relevant within the conversation.
Oh, good. Thanks.
No worries. So what did we talk about in this conversation with Amanda and why did you love it so much, Eva?
We talk a lot about friendships and the navigating the dynamics of a platonic relationship and specifically what happens when those relationships sort of take a course outside of what we're predicting, when they end, when people move away from us. And I loved it because, you know, I think all the chats we have on this show are pretty vulnerable and the content is very special, but it kind of felt like this one was, it really, we weren't talking about climbing. We weren't really even talking about mumming per se. We were just talking about life and how things can feel shit sometimes. And I think just hearing the conversation and, you know, for me being part of the conversation, it was cathartic in a way because you're like, oh yeah, this is stuff that I think we suppress a lot in everyday life because you just have to get on with things. And we kind of gave it some time to air and you realize that it's actually worthwhile talking about. It was a privilege to share it. So I think it was a little bit of a different episode and it was really lovely.
Oh, you just said that so perfectly. And I couldn't agree more. I think it was a vulnerable conversation and big thanks to Amanda for putting this out there. She did, you know, specifically say, I want to talk about this, but it makes me feel kind of nervous. Because I think it is one of those things where we're like, oh, this is like the more uncomfortable things that go along with friendships, some of what we speak about anyway. And the other thing that I was contemplating after this episode, like after we'd recorded it and I'd listened over it when we were producing, I didn't say, but I thought that it would be worth saying because I think maybe this does resonate with mums a bit more when it comes to friendships, is that I have found personally, since having kiddos, that I feel like I've been a bit selfish with my friendships, that I have such little time to go and actually see my friends that it almost like I kind of have to tick three things off at once. So if I can go climbing and see some friends and do another thing at the same time, that usually happens. Whereas, you know, those moments that I used to have before that, where you used to just go hang out at the markets or, you know, just spend hours sitting on each other's couches and chatting, they haven't happened as much. And part of me doesn't like it. And I feel guilty for it because there's some friends that I just don't see much because I just don't, I only have a specific amount of time for friendship. That I can actually go and do that without my kids like being attached to me and asking 1,000 questions. So I think, yeah, there is a sadness in me about that, but I also know that's where I am in life and it's also necessary. It's I can't function in any other way. So I think I just wanted to give a little nod to that because I feel like, I don't know. Do you feel that sometimes, Eva?
Yeah, absolutely. I question myself daily. Like, you know, I hear it. Sometimes I hear myself talking and you get it a lot from me, right? Like I hear, you know, oh my God, I'm so busy. And I feel like I'm drowning. And sometimes I hear that and I think, Eva, like, that feels really selfish and self-indulgent. And then I think, well, what can I do to manage my time better? And I don't have an answer to that. I can't do anything better. I could give something up, right? So I could give up work, which, I mean, I can't afford to give up. Even if I could, that's not what I want to do, right? Like I love my job and I'm passionate about it. Parenting, you're never off. You're always on. And what else is left? Kind of like self-care, really, which I haven't had a lot of recently. But I think that, and there was sort of a sentiment in Amanda's conversation in this episode that you guys will hear where I think she was sort of alluding to, I can't remember the exact context, but about you need to do what's right for you. And so I try, and I really do believe that. I think we can only do what's right for ourselves. And my hope is that, you know, in doing that, and prioritizing myself and therefore my family's needs, right? That the other people outside of my immediate family who are still my chosen family, who I do love very much and care for very much, I just hope that they will always know, whether they have children or not, that I would do anything for them just because it's not a day-to-day touching base or what we were doing 10 years ago, you know, hanging at the markets, going out for a night, whatever it was, just because those things aren't happening doesn't mean my love and care for them has gone.
Oh, yes. All of that 1,000%. Yeah, I think that is hard for some people, but you're right. It just, this is all necessary. It's like what you just said. And I had a similar conversation with a friend recently where she was feeling very overwhelmed. And she's like, I need to, like, something needs to give. And I'm like, but is there actually anything that can give at this moment? And she's like, not really. It's just a hard point. We're in one of those stages in life where there's a lot, there's so much. But yeah, very beautifully said. And we hope you enjoy this episode. And yeah, we'll see you on the other side. Speaking about the people around you and your community, that's another thing that we wanted to have a chat to you about. Like your perspective on the importance of surrounding yourself with people who are nourishing and also in particular with close female friendships.
It's funny because this one, I get a little bit of an anxious feeling in my body when I think it's something I really want to talk about. I think it's kind of an unpopular topic in some ways, like it is and it isn't. It's interesting. I've tried to have these sorts of conversations with people in my community and a lot of people want to turn a blind eye to who they surround themselves with, I think, and even as I say that, I feel hesitant in saying that because it sounds kind of judgmental and I don't, yeah, and it's, you're still working out how to talk about it. But I guess there's sort of these two portions of my life and my friendship groups have been very different in both of those eras of my life. And the pre-Tom era, and this is probably why it's tricky, I think I probably wasn't very real with what I needed from my friends in that era. I mean, I was up to 33 years old or something and you're just going for it and trying to work out how to be successful and make life work and be a rock climber and all of those. Probably maybe more ego, but I don't know, being generalizing about ego is kind of a bit weird too. So I don't think I was very conscious in my decisions around people. And when I say that, I also need to say that I had some beautiful people in my life and the people that I'm less close to now are still awesome people. They just weren't the right people for me. Now I would say I'm lonelier than I've ever been in my life, but the quality of people that I have around me are the right quality of people for me. So, and part of the loneliness, I think, you know, and this is where you need to work out sort of what sort of person you are. And I think because of things that happened in my childhood, I thought you were worthwhile if you had a very big group of friends and everybody liked you. And at some point in your life, you work out that it's statistically not possible for everybody to like you.
It's a shocking revelation.
It is.
I also came to that one and I was like, what? Hey, what? Someone doesn't like
me. What do you mean you don't like me?
I try very hard to make everyone like me. But then you get to the next stage where you like don't care if they like you.
Yeah. And then, well, no, I think the next stage is the bit where you pretend you don't care that they don't like you, but it just hurts like hell. And I reckon that hurts like hell part can last for a while, actually. And I think women don't talk about that either. It's like friendship breakups, or how do you distance yourself from people that are good quality people, but it's when you leave those social interactions and you think, oh, God, I don't feel awesome. And I feel like I need to debrief. And I think I might wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about this and going, oh, okay, that means actually, like, what part of it's something wrong with me? What do I need to work on? What's them and what's not working for me? And, you know, you sort of repeat, rinse and repeat for about 3 years, and then you go, oh, okay, got to walk away from that one. And then how do you walk away from those sorts of things when you're in there in your community? And then what does it mean when it's in a climbing community, for example, and they're people that you've relied on to be able to do the sport that you want to do?
I was just going to say, Eva, do you feel like you've had to navigate these sorts of things as you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very familiar, like, mental journey, right? Like friendship breakups and working out that perhaps some people, I think it can be in different realms. Like sometimes you work out that some people are perhaps toxic in some way, not that they necessarily mean to be, but for you and who you are, it brings out not necessarily traits or patterns that are positive for you. And then in the other realm where, you know, I've had friends that have moved away for different reasons, not many, but some, and I know I've struggled to integrate that. And then a lot of the time I internalize it, you know, and it's like, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And you, I think, grapple with a sense of really wanting to know and wanting to fix things, feeling angry about it, feeling perhaps ashamed in a way. And I think that can then, it's hard to be objective about what's happened, right? Like you sort of, I think the human inner starts to look for things that we didn't do wrong, but they did wrong, right? So you can displace blame.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. It's funny because I've got one girlfriend in particular at the moment, and she's moved away from me. And, you know, I have these, I reckon probably once every 3 or 4 months I say to Tom, do you think I need to sit down with her and just, like, you know, should I just ask her? Oh, but maybe I don't want to know the answer, actually. You know, like, because the question would be, why have you moved away from me? What did I do wrong? And, you know, I think, and then I come back to, I can only be me. Like, I just honestly, at this point in my life, I can only be me, warts and all. Like, I am going to get it wrong. There's things I'm going to need to do better. I'm constantly trying to learn, constantly trying to work on myself. You know, you can look at my Audible playlist to see those sorts of things. You know, that you try and go into therapy every now and then so that you're still working on yourself. And you've just got to accept that it might be the wrong time for them with you, or there's something you do that might be irritating. You're like, but what could I do that's irritating? Maybe I talk too much. I should talk less.
Yeah.
I should read less self-help books and then I'll be less annoying. Yeah. But then I think it's about, you know, how do you hold your line in that and being really clear about what it is, who you want to surround yourself with to be able to create the life you want to live. And that circles back to the aging thing. If you've written yourself off and put yourself out to pasture at 50, then how do you keep making good decisions for yourself about all the elements of your life, including the people you're surrounding yourself with?
I love that you've brought this up as well, because I didn't know that was the direction you take when we talked about, you know, who you surround yourself with. And maybe it is, you know, as you grow older and you become so much more aware about the people who are around you and the way they affect you. Because I think you're right. In my 20s, I had a whole bunch of different friends who still love them to bits, but just didn't really nourish where I was going in life, just because they were going somewhere different. It was just a different path that they were going on. This idea of, like, yeah, how Eva, you know, of stepping away from people and other people stepping away from you when you've come to that realization, you know, when you've matured enough in yourself to be like, this isn't working. It's really painful. And I think because often there's still so much love between, like, love of friendship, but also that, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And this is one thing that I am trying to talk about with my children more, because so much emphasis is put on romantic relationships all through our lives, and so little emphasis is put on these platonic relationships,
Whereas I actually think they're just as important in many ways. And we just don't always navigate them very well. But to have that love that has been formed through a platonic relationship, which can be just so big and, you know, span so many years and experiences, you know, you can go traveling with these people, you know, all the climbing you've done with your community, Amanda, to then end that in a way that isn't kind of this awkward just stepping back like, oh, okay, we're just going to. But I feel like that's all we know how to do. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It just is awkward. Like,
before you end, this is the worst possible time for me to do this, but I'm going to jump off.
You have to go to work.
Eva's stepping away from us.
Not because I don't want to be here. I really want to, anyway. I have a lot to say on this topic. But yeah, I'm gonna run. Keep talking because it's a beautiful topic and it needs to be shared.
We'll do a part two.
Yeah, okay, good.
Bye, darling. Okay, back to what we were talking about. Where were we? Yes, Amanda, your thoughts on when a friendship ends. Do you have anything that you've done in the past as far as like moving on, or is it just that awkward stepping away that you do?
Yeah, that's, I think that awkward stepping back is, that is my experience of it. I think, well, there's a few things I think. I've got a coach that I work with, and like you say, you know, you end up talking about romantic relationships, but your friendship relationships, like, are equally important, and but they don't get processed, I think, as much. I process mine a lot. And so one of the things we were talking about was how I am a lifelong learner. I believe that you constantly have to keep evolving and learning and reflecting. Otherwise, you end up really stagnant. You end up like my dad, which I don't want to end up like him emotionally. And so she said to me, yeah, you're the sort of person that needs the people around you to be like that as well. And, you know, when she said that, you're like, huh, it's true. It's really true. And so the people that I went to see Gwyneth Paltrow with, two of my best friends, we're in the car and we're in the taxi, and, you know, while we're walking in, we're talking about, oh, have you read that book, The Greatness Mindset? Or, you know, oh, I did this thing where I've been trying to meditate and I'm doing this. And so we're constantly amplifying that stuff for each other and reflecting back that learning that we're having, which is awesome. And I don't think all your friends need to do that, but I think if that's something that's important to you, and if you feel like you're on stage and the audience is quiet when you're with your friends, I think that's that feeling I had a lot was, oh, I had this really cool thing happen. And it's like tumbleweed.
Silence.
And so, yeah, I think I've started to recognize the tumbleweed effect of being people that are maybe not the right people for me. But I don't know, do you sit them down and say, look, yeah, I need you to do some work on yourself, or we can't be friends anymore.
Well, I think that comes back to, you know, accepting everyone for where they're at and also for that path that they're on. Because I think when I look to the friendships that, you know, have become distant in my life, it's when you notice on like a regular basis, on a continuing scale, that the values and the direction that you're going is just not conducive, and you're not helping each other. Because I think like you'll be having a conversation and they'll say something and you kind of like bite your tongue, and you'll say something and they'll bite their tongue, because like you're just on a different path. And I think that's, you know, that's an interesting thing, because sometimes people will then change and they'll weave back towards maybe where you're going, or you'll change and weave back towards where they're going. But then maybe there's just those times where we really have to just gracefully step away from each other. But I guess doing that and not hurting people, I don't know that that's even possible. So we try and like pull the Band-Aid off really slow, instead of like sitting down and having that hard conversation of, I love you, but, you know, this friendship really isn't serving us like it used to. Let's still love each other, but we don't need to have that pressure of hanging out. I don't know. I've never had that conversation with anyone. I don't even know if I'd ever be brave enough to have that conversation with someone.
I've tried. I've tried with one. And it's funny because, there were some awkward things that happened with, you know, because we're sort of in a threesome of a friendship, and it just didn't work. Like, one of the people in the threesome just didn't like me much. And if you've got a three of a friends and there's one person in the middle, it just doesn't work. And so it was, that was a tough one, because I felt like, you know, I felt like what I said was, I love you and I really value our friendship and I'm finding it really hard for this reason. And they went, oh, yeah, yeah, it'll all be all right. It'll all be all right. Yeah. Don't worry, it'll work out. And you're like, but it's no, it's really painful for me and this isn't working for me. So, yeah, I think it's also interesting. I think when the friendships aren't working, sometimes I guess it's like a romantic relationship. The other person might not have the same perspective you do on that. So the breakup doesn't go particularly smoothly from that point of view either. And I think climbing complicates it, because it's hard to find, like Leah Dempsey talks about friendship and she just simplifies it down to having chemistry with people.
I love that.
And I really like that way of describing it, because you're like, oh yeah, I just don't have chemistry. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. That, you know, you want people to go climbing with too. So, you know, at what point do you sort of force the lack of chemistry and the climbing partner thing, so you've got someone to hold your rope and somebody that can listen to your meanderings while you're walking into the cliff?
I think I'm a little bit spoiled in this respect by like creating the Moms Gone Climbing community, because I think I very much understand the chemistry thing, because I'm someone, and it's a part of myself that I really love. It happens to me often. I will meet someone and almost immediately know that I want them in my life. And then back when I was in my 20s, that might happen and I'd be like, oh wow, they're so cool. But these days I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, you are now we're going to be friends, and I'll put in the effort. You know, if they don't want to be friends, that's fine. I'm not going to chase you down or anything, but I'll be like, yep, yeah, no, I'm not going to stalk anyone. But I really step up when I get that feeling about someone, that chemistry, right? I'm very active these days at then nurturing that relationship. So I have lots of people to go climbing with, although I will say that the realm that you're climbing in is a smaller realm as well, because like there's a lot of people who climb in my realm, but not as many people who climb in your realm. But maybe in the Blueies that's different, actually. I'm not sure.
No, I think you get put into, you know, there's people that won't want to climb with you because they think that you climb too hard, or because they think you take it this seriously, or because they think something. And so you kind of end up, you end up in a very small pool where I think you
take it too seriously, but I'd just be like, I couldn't touch what she warms up on. Like, there's just no way.
Well, you might be able to.
Not at this point. I'm not saying it would never be possible, but at the point I'm at the moment, not so much.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a funny one. There was something else I was going to say about the friendship thing. What was it?
What do you think, like, if we're looking at it from positive things you've learned from this, I guess, exploration of friendship for yourself, what do you really like try and be intentional with now, as far as either building the relationships that you have that are really important to you, but also in reaching out to connect with new people who are going to be those people that you have charisma mm-hmm. with, who lift you up, who push you in the direction that you want to be going in?
I think there's a few things. I think it's got to be pretty organic and you can't push it if you're not ready. So a couple of years after getting divorced, I wanted to make new friends, but I remember saying, I'm not ready. I'm too scared, which is a really funny feeling to have. But I think the fallout when you go through a divorce is so big in your own world that it can take a little bit to recover from that. So I think having patience is one thing that I've learned. Trusting that you sort of end up with a couple of new people in your life every decade. And like you said, you've got to nurture them. You know, it's like a plant that needs to be watered. And I think it's interesting watching how people do friendship. And I'm lucky enough to have a relationship that is really nurturing and awesome. And so if either of us have something that comes up with our friend, we'll make space for each other. Like, you know, I'll say, oh, you know, Tom, I've got this Gwyneth Paltrow thing I really want to go to and I want to do this run and I might stay in Sydney. And he's like, yes, you should. you know, there is, he's like, I'm going to say yes, and then I'll work out the logistics later, unless he's got something planned and he bags the day first. Not everyone has that. So I can appreciate that can be tricky. But for me and the things that have happened in my life, I need to feel safe in my friendships in a way that maybe some other people don't. And I forgive myself for that now. Like I used to think maybe I need too much from my friends, or maybe I'm too demanding, and maybe that's why sometimes it doesn't work. And now I'm like, you know, I've done the work, this is who I am, and I like to have regular enough contact with my friends. I like to trust plans that we've made. If I've got someone that dumps me all the time because they've got a lot of drama all the time, then it just makes me so anxious that it doesn't work long term. And I'm talking like over years, not like short term. So I think being really conscious of who you are and what you need from a friend in the same way you think about what you need from your relationship with your partner. And then I think having that, not being scared to communicate about it. I was telling one of my close friends now, I said, oh, it's funny, you know, what I miss about this friendship is we used to tell each other really stupid sex stories and, you know, or we'd go, oh my God, I just had the best sex of my life. And then, you know, finding people in your life that are willing to be that open about that stuff. And then this friend, I went away with her and she has just like stepped up and she's really trying to push herself to be more open in that way. It was so cute. Like I just felt really cared about that she had heard what I'd said. I didn't say to her, I need you to talk to me about this more in this way. I was just saying, you know, I had this session with my coach, Maggie, and we were talking about this and, you know, and this is what I was saying. And so then she's taken that, put it through the blender in her head, and then come out with a different level of openness with me. It just felt really grown up and awesome. Actually, I felt really lucky. But yeah. And I think being okay with feeling lonely, like, yeah, and working out why you feel lonely. Gwyneth Paltrow said something the other night about when you get annoyed with other people or when you feel judged by someone else, often it's something that you're judging in yourself. And I thought, you know, my 45-year-old self was like, yes, I know. My 40-year-old self would have said, I don't think that's true all the time. But I actually think it is, you know, if there's something about someone that really gets on your nerves, then it's probably something that you're doing a bit of work on about yourself or something that's irritating you about yourself. Yeah. That was a long ramble, wasn't it?
No, I think it was great. I think you like touched on so many good things there. And yeah, I think that it does have truth though, if something is grating on you. And I think it doesn't have to be such like a, like it, whatever's grating on you is exactly what's, you know, that you're not happy within yourself in like that, you know,
black and white sort of a thing.
Yeah, black and white, 100%. But like there's an element of it. There's something going on that it's triggering you for sure, because we just don't get that upset about things that aren't important to us in some way or don't have value for us in some way. But and I love that your friend stepped up and like just like – but that's so beautiful, isn't it, that you can have that conversation and share those things. And yeah, and there's that to and fro of like, okay, sure, let's go wherever, you know, whether it's like you want to talk about sex or if you want to go on an adventure or you want to go see Gwyneth Paltrow, whatever it is, like they're like, hell yeah, I'm up for that. And I think that's what's really nice, if you can have those friends that you like have this little idea and then you're like, so would anyone be keen to join me in this idea? And, you know, your friends are like, hell yes, I'll be there with you, whatever it is. I think that's very powerful. Yeah, and so good for our soul. Thank you so much for this chat, Amanda. It's been amazing.
No worries. It's always awesome talking to you too.
Thank you, everyone, for coming along with us on this series four, listening into these important conversations. It's been such a joy to have all of our guests. Oh, huge, huge, huge thank you to the women who have come and spoken to us. It's just been so, so special.
It has. It's been inspiring. It's been a privilege to be a part of. It really is so important to us that these are the conversations you want to hear and that this stuff is what resonates. And if it's not, tell us, like get in touch, because there's so many things that that we can talk about, and I think conversations that are inspired by you guys who are listening is what's important.
Yeah, 100%. That's what connects us all. So a big sign off from me and Eva, Nell and Eva. We are coming back with Series 5 of the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast. We'll be on the airwaves on the 3rd of April. So catch up on all those episodes that you've missed, and we'll see you then.
See you then.